Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. The East Abbotville Church of Christ will be assembling this evening at 7 for a period of Bible study. We urge you to come, bring only your Bibles, and visit with us. If you're completely incapable to attend, log on to eastabbotville.org, and there you can see and hear the services, as well as on the church's YouTube channel and the church's Facebook page. Keep these things in mind this evening at 7. We've been looking at the subject of marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And in order to do that, we begin by looking at understanding the definition of words. We know that confusion is sometimes created when we use words to mean one thing and somebody else understands those words in meaning something else. So we're in our study of looking at the definition of words that are used in the subject of marriage and divorce. But before we did that, we started by showing what God's plan is for marriage. And we looked in Genesis 2 in verse 24 and found two things about marriage. One is that God intends for marriage to be permanent, and the other is that God intends for there to be commitment in a marriage. And then we looked at the question of what constitutes a marriage. We saw that it is the intention to live together when God said that man shall leave father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they must be to complying with the laws of the land, as we find Christians must obey the laws of the land, as Romans 13 speaks of. But then there was the question about cohabitation, and certainly cohabitation, while it is a part of marriage, yet it does not take that to constitute the marriage. And we saw that in the case of Mary and Joseph, where he had taken her to be his wife, but yet he did not know her sexually until after the birth of Jesus. Then we looked at the fact that marriage is marriage. Whether God approves or whether God does not approve of a marriage, marriage is still marriage. And we saw the same to be true for divorce. Whether God approves of a divorce or does not approve of the divorce, divorce is divorce. And also we began, as our study ended, by looking at the word divorce. So in our study this morning, let's pick up our study with the looking of the definition of the word fornication. The word fornication is a broader word than adultery. We find that it is defined as fornication, being prostitution, unchastity, of every kind of unlawful intercourse. That's from the Greek-English lexicon of the New Testament and early Christian literature. Thayer says of fornication that it's properly of illicit, that is unlawful, sexual intercourse in general. So this definition, we understand, would include homosexuality, lesbianism, and incest. However, it does not include a man that looks upon a woman to lust, like mentioned in Matthew 5, verse 28. Though the text says that he has committed adultery in his heart, the Lord uses adultery to emphasize where lust leads. I believe we can illustrate that by looking in 1 John chapter 3 and in verse 15. The man who hates his brother is called a murderer. And yet, the sin is hatred, not murder. But the term murderer is used to emphasize where hatred leads. So in both cases, the text shows the end result of the evil thought. In the case of lust, it's adultery. In the case of hate, it's murder. Two, generally, the word fornication be opposed to unlawful intercourse of the unmarried. That is, we're told to avoid fornication with the married, 1 Corinthians 7, verses 2, 3, 4, and 5. However, the term is also applied to unlawful sexual conduct of married people, like, for instance, in 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 1, and also Revelation 2 and verse 20. Now let's look at the word adultery. The word adultery in Matthew 19:9 means to have unlawful intercourse with another's wife, and that's Thayer's definition. The noun adulterer denotes one who has unlawful intercourse with the spouse of another, and that's Vine's dictionary definition. So what we're seeing is that adultery is a more specific term than fornication. It generally refers to sexual activity between a married man and a woman that's not his wife, or between a married woman and a man who's not her husband. And as the terms are generally used, fornication is the much broader word that includes adultery, whereas adultery describes only a part of what is included in fornication. And we find, too, that sometimes the words adultery and fornication are used interchangeably, like, for instance, in Revelation 20, verses 20, 21, and 22. We see that occasionally the term fornication will be used to describe what would generally be called adultery, like in 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 1. But as the term is used in Matthew 19:9, the word adultery refers to an unlawful relationship between those who are unscripturally married. Adultery can be committed, as in Matthew 19:9, with one's own wife. Paul said that the woman who marries another would be called an adulteress, Romans 7, verses 2 and 3. Some have tried to make the argument that adultery simply means covenant breaking. Thus, they want to say that a couple guilty of adultery can repent of covenant breaking and continue in that same marriage. Would that definition and application apply to passages that speak of spiritual adultery, like in Jeremiah 3, verses 8 and 9, or like what Ezekiel spoke about in chapter 23 and verse 37? Would those guilty simply have to say, "I'm sorry," and then continue in their sin? See, in Matthew 5, verse 28, one is fantasizing covenant breaking. Well, you know, the Jews brought to Jesus a woman on the occasion in John 8, who had been taken in the very act of adultery, which tells us that there is more involved in adultery than just simply covenant-breaking. In Matthew 5:32, the put-away one who is not guilty of covenant-breaking commits adultery when she remarries. Two, it is argued that some, only the first sexual act is adultery. And to them, that severs the bond which makes one free to continue in that marriage after he repents of the sin. But to the contrary, the New Testament teaches us that a couple commits adultery every time they cohabitate. From the first act to the last, the word translated committeth adultery in Matthew 19:9 is in the present tense. And in the Greek, the time of action is secondary. The kind of action is what is primarily being considered. So the present tense tells us that the adultery is continuous action. So it is then that this present tense form of the word, committeth adultery, means continuous action at any time. That is, as long as the condition of the second marriage continues to exist. It's adultery. Paul, remember, wrote to the Colossians and said that fornication mention fornication among a number of sins. And then he states that they had lived in them. That's in Colossians 3, verses 5 and verse 7. So, one can live in adultery, which shows that it involves more than just a one-time act. The woman who marries another while her first husband lives will be called an adulteress, Romans 7, verses 2 and 3. And to say the least, she remains in adultery as long as he is living. Again, we're seeing continuous action being described. And then another word that we need to take into consideration as we're defining words and make sure that we're all on the same page when we talk about words in connection with marriage and divorce is the word separation. This refers to a husband and wife not living together, though they are still married. It's not the same as divorce. And I only know of one passage that refers to separation without divorce, and that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 5. And then another word that we need to deal with and make sure that we are together in our definition is the word bond. The bond is a covenant with God, that God joins us to our mate. God is the one who joins, that is, he bonds or he yokes together, and thus only God can do the loosening. One who is scripturally married is bound by the law to his mate. That we read in Romans 7 and verse 2. And in context with the third verse there in Romans 7, it is that bond with the first mate, that makes the second marriage adulterous. And so it's clear from what we read here in Romans 7, verses 2 and 3, that the marriage and the bond are not the same. In other words, it's possible to be married to one while being bound to another. So this bond obligates one to leave and to cleave, like Jesus said in Matthew 19:5, quoting, of course, from Genesis 2 and verse 24. So the marriage obligates one to leave and to cleave, and it restrains from sexual relations with any other than the one that they were bound to. And that's all of what we see that Romans 7, verses 1 through 4 teaches, that it's possible to be married to another, but yet be bound to the first husband. If a woman has a husband, she's bound to him as long as she lives. If she's married to another man while her husband lives, she's called an adulteress. Why? She's still bound to her first husband, though she's married to a second man. Friends, we see that our time is gone. We appreciate so much your listening, and we hope that you tune in again tomorrow. And it's until then that we bid you a pleasant good day, and now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 AM and Sunday at 8:30 AM. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 AM for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock PM. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.